All right, you guys ready to kick this thing off?
Let's do it.
All righty, the music is fading out, and it's time to start. Boom. Hey, did I put everybody's face on the right place? I think I did. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the 8th episode of Afternoon Tea. Guess who's back? Brian F. We tried our darndest. We tried. Yeah, we could try to keep him out of here.
3 months, 4 months, 2 years. I don't even know anymore.
You know, Ringe said someone came up to him and at Frosty and was like, I'm a big fan of that podcast you guys do that you're on Afternoon Tea.
Oh, boy.
Oh, awkward. That explains the dirty look I got right, you know, right after that interaction.
Yeah.
Ringe was like, too happy when he told me, oh, have fun on that podcast this Sunday. I'm sure it's going to be a great one. Yeah, under my car before driving away.
Your tires are slashed and shit. You're like, what happened?
Somebody dumped a pile of snow right in front of your car.
Damn. I mean, we wouldn't have to because it was there regardless.
I can see the snow outside. That looks awful.
Yeah, I mean, Frosty Fostings lives up to the name every single year. I think there hasn't been a year where I've avoided getting snowed in or, you know, spinning out on the highway. It lives up to the name.
Spinning good out events. On the highway?
Well, that was last year. That gave me a little bit of a power up before the tournament. But this year, there was no incidents involved. Oh, yeah.
That's terrifying. That's
kind of freaky.
Jeez. I'm glad you survived.
Me too.
Yeah, snow seems bad.
Not so fun. We have a lot.
I've never seen West snow coasters. In person.
West coasters again. Wouldn't know.
We have a lot of time or a lot of problems just trying to drive in the rain.
The rain is brutal, yeah.
Well, I've seen it on the mountain, but I've never like.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, you can drive 2 hours from where we live and there's snow right now.
Mm-hmm. I think up in like towards
like Big
a little Bear. Bit north of like Moreno Valley, even like Victorville, that close by, there's still like a decent amount of snow.
Yeah,
it's getting colder, man, in California. It really is.
But why would you go east? That's the issue.
I don't know. I don't know. That is a good question. But we do have a lot to talk about today.
Yeah.
Trying to switch gears here. First of all, welcome back, Brian. Thank you. Glad to have you back. Honestly. A lot happened this month. One of the biggest deals is the Street Fighter V netcode unofficial patch / mod, where we have all of a sudden miraculous online connection. Another thing we want to talk about as well is EVO Japan and some of the reveals that happened at Frosty Faustings to kind of round up the entire show. Again, of course, it's Sejam, Filipino man, myself. So right off the bat, the Street Fighter V patch. A big fucking deal. 2 days apparently was how long it took for this random to patch it out completely. Random. I want to say random because people are like, who is this person?
Well, that was my favorite part.
Grace us with such powerful fucking netcode.
The first so this thread got posted and it said apparently some guys fixed the Street Fighter V netcode. That was like the very first post. So people went and looked, and like the first comment was like, who the fuck are you? Why should I trust you? Why should I download this thing? And he's like, okay, well, my name is Altimore. It's my screen name on Reddit, first of all. And he was like, second of all, I made like the hitbox and hurtbox viewer for Guilty Gear and like some other fighting games. So he's done some other modding before for fighting games that have been really useful. I used the Guilty Gear hitbox viewer before, so I was familiar with his work. And then everybody was like, well, what does this even do? What's the point of this patch and stuff, right? So one of the things that people have talked about for the netcode of Street Fighter V for forever is that the big issue with the way they've implemented rollback is a time synchronization or a clock synchronization issue in the game, right? And way back in the day, in the beta of the game, Mike Z tweeted something that was like, you know, this Street Fighter V netcode seems to have some issue with like the clock syncing on the different machines. And not that long after that, there was like a talk and, you know, obviously the canons were like, you know, it seems like maybe Street Fighter has some issue with the clock synchronization in their rollback netcode. We don't know for sure, but that's what it looks like. Then Keats and like all these other people who have worked on rollback were like, you know what? That's probably the issue. Zynak made like a little video where he was demonstrating what that piece of code does in a game that has rollback and like what clock synchronization does and all that kind of stuff. So Altimore was like, you know what? This game has this big issue, and everybody says that this is what the issue is, and all the developers who have said that the issue exists say that fixing it is not actually that much work. Like, Keith said it would take probably a week or two because, you know, for a company, they have to create the fix, then they have to QA it, then they have to make sure it works, then they have to get it certified for console. So there's like a, you know, a whole process that they have to do. Even if Capcom implemented the fix, it wouldn't take them 2 days, right? They're a company. They have to go through the whole process of getting it working and also testing it and making sure it doesn't make the game slow down like the, you know, fan-made version does and all that kind of stuff. But the fix happened very, very quickly, and it tackles and kind of tries to deal with the big issue that people have had with Street Fighter's version of Rollback for forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a lot of experience with it so far. I've been testing it out with at least, from a minimal standpoint of just at least California to California connection, at least 2 hours away. Before, I couldn't play with Ringe, and then I tested it out with Classico afterwards, all the way to Chicago. Yeah, and that was flawless. Every time we played, I'd only play for fun, obviously, and it was terrible, but it was just for, you know, shits and giggles. But nowadays, it was flawless. Mm-hmm. And I know Brian has been testing it out as well.
Yeah, he actually took it for a spin. I didn't even have a copy of the game on PC. I went out of my way to buy, you know, giving Capcom my hard-earned money because some other guy made a mod to potentially fix the netcode. And the first thing I did was go straight into ranked with my, you know, rookie account, smurfing it up. And I set it to the lowest connection settings you possibly could on PC to PC. I searched for same platform only because one of the bugs in the implementation, which I guess we'll cover in a bit. But yeah, my first match, if the flag was accurate, it was a guy in Germany. And it was like a 3-bar connection with the bar said, which are never accurate. And it was better than most of the 5 bars I get on PS4. Because on PS4, my 5-bar connections, for some reason, I only get to play against people in Mexico and Dominican Republic, which, you know, I'm kind of basically right next door to Canada. There's snow outside right now. So I just don't think the logistics line up for me to be able to play people from those countries that far away. And yeah, if that guy was actually in Germany, it felt great. I was honestly shocked. And I did more testing with actually playing players that I know and people who I previously had poor connections with. That was like Alex Myers. I've tried playing on PS4. It wasn't that great. And yeah, it was good. It was playable. It worked well. And I was just so relieved because as a player, I think it's so hard to find training partners and people to work on specific matchups and get matchup experience because you're limited by your region. And this is something that can like break down those barriers that shouldn't exist in the first place. I'm just asking to play people within the same country. Yeah. And in that kind of a manner, I think it's a super valuable patch for players to experiment with. But it's definitely not perfect. There's definitely issues with it.
Absolutely.
Some players you play against, it just induces a slowdown effect because I think the way the patch is implemented is trying to slow down your clock speed or like what frame you're on in the game. It slows down whoever's ahead to try to sync you guys up so you stay plus or minus 2 frames within each other. But for some reason, every once in a while, it just perpetually stays in the slowdown mode where you can never really sync up and the game runs at like 30 FPS. And the other issue is PS4 users, the patch, you can't apply to PS4 users, or I'm not sure if it also applies to unpatched PC, but for sure PS4 users, they get dumped all the rollback because there's no way for them to get synced up to that frame of the game. And so they're constantly trying to catch up to your connection.
Right.
So don't use it for matchmaking. Don't use it to play random people, but if you're setting up play dates with people you know have the PC patch, this could potentially break down those barriers and let you train with people that you weren't able to previously.
Yeah, so yeah. I tested it quite a bit. And like I mentioned, Zynac, a little while ago, I covered a video he did discussing it. But like he essentially explained it like this. So if you think about rollback, the two machines are synced up like this, right? And what ends up happening when there's lag with the console or, you know, with the connection to the network, the consoles kind of do this. So instead of meeting here, they kind of lag. And what ends up happening is when the clocks sync correctly, they kind of snap back. So they drift and they snap, but they come back towards the middle. What ends up happening in this case with Street Fighter is that what ends up happening is something happens and the lag is introduced and then it goes like this and the clocks never resync. So this guy's ahead and he's, you know, not seeing any rollbacks whatsoever. And this person is just living in hell. They're just receiving like tons of one-sided rollback. It's why the phrase "it's good on my end" is actually so not only a perfect online name for Brian, but is so common, right? Because you end up with that situation where the clocks don't really sync.
The CFN name wasn't taken.
Yeah, that's incredible.
But it's pretty funny because that point you brought up where the person who's ahead doesn't get the rollback, but the person who's behind does, usually with the way it works with cross-platform play is the PC user is I thought it was the one who gets ahead gets the rollback, though. Is that how it works? Because usually it's PC users who are complaining about the cross-platform rollback, while PS4 users are fine, because PS4 is usually the less powerful piece of hardware. They stay behind.
That might be it, yeah.
PC users are ahead in the frame of the game, and then they're getting all this rollback, trying to roll back to where the PS4 user was.
Right, that's correct, yeah.
You know, for some of the connections I tested, I was the PS4 user versus a PC user.
I see.
When I went to the patch PC, it actually got worse for me. But on their end, it was relatively better. So rather than it being me have no rollback, them all the rollback, it made the experience equal where we both shared some of the rollback.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had rollback, but it wasn't like that much of an issue. I was still playing the game. But for them, it was relatively better. Now, it didn't solve the issue entirely.
Yeah.
If we're getting out of sync, if there's any frames being dropped, you're going to have rollback. But the experience, like the rollback you feel, it's so much different than the normal rollback you see when playing online on a normal connection, because it's chunky. You can feel the chunk of it going on. It's like, man, you feel like your joints are cracking. Like, it's not a smooth experience at all. But the rollback you see on the patch, it's very minor, and you get the overall flow of the move they're doing. You don't feel totally caught off guard. You don't see someone neutral jump, and then suddenly they go back to the floor, and then suddenly they're on top of your head.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Like Ryu gets a demon flip with the current Street Fighter V netcode. So you don't get any of those experiences. Sure. But if you go from PS4 versus a PC connection to patch PC to patch PC, it's not a magic bullet where it's going to make it perfect for everybody. It's just going to share the burden equally. So everyone gets to have a playable experience.
That's one thing I wanted to bring up, is that the patch will not stop you from seeing jittering or teleporting, right? That's not how it works. Rollbacks, that's what rollback does, right? When there is a connection issue, instead of slowing down or something like that. But yeah, there will be situations where you will now have rollback and you're like, what? What happened now? Like, my connection used to be so good with you. And they're like, no, before it was a living nightmare. And for me, like Brian, I tested it against a bunch of people. I played SoCal to like New Jersey and to Dakota. I don't remember if it was North or South Dakota, but I played both of those connections. And then I also played Toronto, and then I played people out of the country as well. My experience was great. It was much, much better than any other like Street Fighter Online experience. Obviously, the version currently is not perfect. Altamore has said that like he knows some of the issues with the current patch. As we mentioned, there's like a slowdown issue and the crossplay situation. So, you know, he said he was going to make like an update to it, an adjustment to help with that. And I think everybody's thought was what he's going to do is make it so that there's like a check, right? So like when you connect with someone, it checks if you're playing the patch version or not. So if you're not, aka you're on PS4 or you're on PC and haven't patched, everybody's conclusion was probably like, it'll just not do the patch, right? It'll just not implement the fix that he has on the machine. But he was like, I'm actually pretty sure I can update it and make the clock sync correctly, even for non-patch versions, aka also for PS4 users, which is like, if that's true, that is such an unbelievable thing to even imagine happening, right? That would be so useful. And so we'll see what the patch version is on that. And the reason I say we have to see about that is because Capcom on the matter has only said about one thing, which is Ono tweeting that he like grasps or understands the situation, and that's it. There's been no other communication about Capcom, you know, knowing about it and wanting to change anything or fix anything or add anything like that, really.
Yeah, well, it's not just him saying he grasps the situation. It's a series of very emotionally charged tweets from Ono, which you actually do not ever see from this account.
Yeah,
it was very bizarre the level of emotional response that was, like, he's responding to all the troll tweets, which, you know, if you follow any Street Fighter official account on Twitter, you know that it's been a nonstop barrage of hatred since Street Fighter V has dropped. And he actually bit and replied to these personal attacks. And, you know, kind of it inspires some pity for the man. Like, you actually feel bad for him in a way where the ruse has been caught. You know, this whole time they've been acting like, oh, we can't fix the netcode, we're not going to comment on it, and someone actually fixes it in 2 days. I feel like there's a level of shame and embarrassment there, and that he's actually peeling back the veil and showing that they're kind of embarrassed about the whole ordeal, which they should be.
Yep.
I mean, it's embarrassing. Absolutely. And I'm glad that someone finally just took those extra little steps to show how embarrassing the situation really is on a technical level. And I hope that there's greater implications to this fix, more so than just what the patch is actually doing to players who have it in their hands right now, allowing them to play with people they couldn't do before. I hope there's a bigger implication of consumers are going to figure out what's wrong with your product, and you're going to get blasted for it on social media, mm-hmm. and hopefully it brings about some change. But it might not, because this mod got me to give them more money. So
it's crazy how technologically savvy our audience is compared to like the simple audience, because unfortunately I haven't had as much experience as you guys play on the patch. I don't even have the patch downloaded, and I'm not going to lie to you, I don't even know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to figure it out. I'm very technologically illiterate. So I would have to watch a video and be very careful not to, you know, delete a very important file on my computer and hope it works out for me. But from what I've heard, it did help everyone else, for the most part. But
yeah.
But Brian already explained issues, earlier. Yeah. Brian explained earlier like the slowdown, the 30 frames per second slowdown. Mm-hmm. Yesterday I had friends that were talking about it, and they were like, this patch sucks. I don't know why I'm slowing down when it was fine beforehand. Mm. And hopefully they can find a fix for that. And hopefully Capcom did respond. I've been off Twitter, but Capcom did respond, and they would have a patch for the people that, you know, have a struggle getting access to the patch.
Yeah, I'm actually
just help everyone else.
I'm like so not certain, you know what I mean, about what Capcom's response will be. I feel pretty strong about the chances that Ono tweets, I've grasped the situation, and then nothing ever happens. Like, I feel that's a pretty likely circumstance. And the other thing, too, is like what Brian mentioned, and I think what a lot of people mentioned, is I saw so many people buy the PC version of CE or reinstall it or upgrade and stuff like that just because they were like, oh my God, I can finally play the game online. Right? Mm-hmm. They're like, it's finally happening. It's time for me to do it. And like, when people say good netcode will make people buy the game, they're not fucking around, right? Like, people are very serious that if the game is playable online, they already own it and all these costumes and 95 Chun-Li outfits on PS4. And they're like, now hold on a minute. You're telling me I have playable online mode? I'll rebuy the game on PC, right? Like, that's the attitude that's happening. It's just people want to be able to play the game online. And like, if Capcom recognized that, they could be like, huh, it turns out if we would have just fixed this years and years and years ago, maybe people would have played our goddamn game online mm-hmm. all these years, and we wouldn't have had to have some guy be like, you know, it would be nice if I could play Street Fighter online. Guess I'll just fix it in 2 days, right? Like, that's right. What you do when you like look at your closet and you're like, I have too many clothes. I should give away some of these clothes to Goodwill or something, right? Like, he was just like, oh, I guess I'll just fix the net code mm-hmm. in 2 days or whatever. Like, it was that simple. You know what I mean? Right. He was like, I'll just get a couple of trash bags, you know, get a vacuum. It's no problem. Like, he's just like, let me handle it real quick.
I feel like through the life cycle of Street Fighter or Street Fighter 5 in general, the online play has been their demon the entire time. As soon as the launch came out, the online didn't work. People were mad. Mm-hmm. It's just the functionality of online was so important. And they like advertised it like, we're going to focus on online. We're going to make it better. We're going to run these beta tests to see if it can handle the server stress. But I didn't know it was only going to be to that point where they weren't going to fix it if there were problems with the netcode. It was just, can it handle these people playing at the same time?
Can I give you a quote? From 2015, sure. I talked to the Street Fighter developer. Like, I talked to the Street Fighter guys at their booth when the game was playable. And I remember saying, like, hey, you guys are doing this beta test. Is it, like, what's it for? Is it, like, to test, like, the characters and stuff? And they're like, we don't care about testing the characters. Our only goal is to make sure the online is good. We don't want our netcode to be like NRS. We don't want that kind of situation. We want to make sure our netcode is good. We're not going to be a joke like NRS online.
Oh,
and
boy.
That was the conversation I had with them in person in 2015 about the future of the netcode. And boy, oh boy, it is fantastic to think back about that conversation and look at the current state of Street Fighter and their netcode.
Right. I think another point to bring up is how much lost revenue this potentially is, because the whole model is supposed to be a game as a service. So, you know, me rebuying the game and a few other people rebuying the game on PC, I feel like it's a drop in the bucket, because that's not, the game is like $15 or something new. The whole point is them peddling DLC to you over the span, the lifetime of the game across X number mm-hmm. of users. So if they keep dropping users left and right who don't want to boot up the game because online sucks, that's where the money is lost. So I just can't believe that this was not a priority, because this is a giant drain on the entire business model that they set up with Street Fighter V. And I don't know. I guess that's point's been beaten to death. But I think there's money to be made in regaining this audience and peddling them DLC. If they get the game, they have to buy all the characters, to buy all the costumes. Well, they don't need to do that. But there's a lot of DLC to get caught up on. And yeah. I think even a free patch, there's potential revenue to make, and the people who fell off the game years ago who are on PS4 who can't get this PC patch and are interested in the game but not enough to deal with a shitty online experience.
Right. So
I think there's a I'm kind of being optimistic here. I feel like maybe they're seeing that there's some kind of potential here, and this might light a fire under Capcom's ass, or at least it might have some kind of effect in the next iteration of Street Fighter, if that ever comes to be.
I think there's two things on that. Is that
no change from this?
Ono has been super cryptic about what he means about how he grasped it. He does not like, I get it, like, guys, he fixed the netcode and we didn't. He didn't say that yet. He just said he's being cryptic about it. But also, I feel like there are ramifications about this patch because the Olympics qualifiers are coming out. That's a huge opportunity. And are they going to ban PC users because they might have this patch to screw it over for the PS4 users?
Right.
What are they going to do? Like,
there's no the PS4 player,
they're going to let it rock the PS4.
There's no way they can afford to do that, honestly. Because a lot of people, before even all that was happening, they had this patch to include whatever the tournament mode. Everybody was talking about it. It's like, are they going to actually like ban the people who have this patch? Like, what would that do to the community? Like, honestly, if they were to touch this patch and say, whoever has this, or if we see you playing on this, you're not allowed to compete in the Olympics, that would obviously destroy their fan base on PC. Or actually, maybe entirely, right? Taking away something this positive for the community would be an absolute shot in the foot.
And also imagine them being like, hey, you can't use the patch against other PS4 users or something. You expect people to just unpatch and repatch every time they have to play someone in the bracket. Like, oh, hold on, we can't run my match. I got to make sure I unpatch the games because I'm playing a PS4 user. So I get all the rollback, and then I'll repatch it so that when I play a PC user next round, you know, it'll work just fine. Like, it's such a, like, I don't know, cumbersome, even like silly idea to even try to fix it. They just have to let it happen because, like, what can you do, right? Even if you don't have the patch, you could still have bad rollback with someone on PS4. And what are they going to be like? Sure. Oh, this guy's clearly using the patch. I'm having lag, and you're like, no, I'm not. And how they even, you know, police that? It's not the whole thing.
Please screenshot. Yeah,
that's also pretty bad for the PS4 fan base or user base, right? They can't do anything about it unless Capcom releases something equivalent to the PC patch, right?
A lot of PS4 users are hating.
They are absolutely.
They are hating. I don't know how you live
directed
on PS4.
Hate in the wrong direction. If anyone watching or listening to this is a PS4 user hating on users for taking this mod, I hate the producer, not Ono itself, but just hate the person making the product. It's not the consumer's fault if the product sucks and they mod it. If you get any device that's defective and you fix it at home, it's fine. This direction we're going in, where like software is considered this thing that you are renting and you don't own it and you can't modify it, that's not good for the consumer. The consumer has the right to complain, has the right to address problems with the product. And it's nobody's fault besides Capcom that the netcode sucks and some guy made it better with a hack that screws over other users if they play together. Now, as a personal user of the product, maybe be considerate and don't go into matchmaking with it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, come on. It's not working. Someone had provided a hack job fix. People are going to use it. If you wanted to avoid this situation, Capcom should have made functioning netcode from the beginning. And as far as that online tournament is going, I think every PC user should use the patch and make this a rollback shit show for a crossplay, and then they never do online tournaments again.
Yeah, if you're going to do online tournaments, like, if the netcode is good, you can have justifiable online tournaments where the results are meaningful, right? Like, that's just how it works. And if your game company cares enough to make good netcode, you can make the online events worth something, like KI has done back in the day in NRS, right? Like, you know, those online tournaments are actually important. And also, the best players train online in those games because the netcode is good, right? So if the netcode for your game is bad, don't go out of your way to make it worse by doing online tournaments, right? Like, it is just another mistake to make, to think, oh, well, our game has netcode, even if it's really bad. Just make people play online for tour points and spots and, you know, that kind of stuff. It's such a silly idea, right? If the netcode is bad, don't have online tournaments or online qualifiers for stuff.
Historically, like, online tournaments have been huge for the Capcom Pro Tour. It gets people way up there in contention to, like, win the tournament. Like, Punk won the online tournament to get into the final, like, to get into the regional final and then make a name for himself.
Yeah.
And that's important to have, but the thing is, if your netcode is bad, you cannot be holding online tournaments that bear so much weight. And the fact that Olympics, this is the first, I think this is like the biggest scale that we've ever reached, in my opinion. and we're gonna run it through online tournaments through regions. It's like Mexico has to play against Canada.
Yeah.
And that's the North American region. That's not gonna work out unless you have a decent netcode, and the rollback is gonna be huge. I hope people play on their Wi-Fi and figure it out.
If they did PC only with the patch, you'd actually do it. But you know, that's not gonna happen.
Not necessarily. It might be slow.
Oh, that's true too. We just have Sometimes. To have Ultimore to fix that. This version to make it perfect, and then Capcom will just check off on it, and then that's what we'll use. But just think, like, consider yourself a fighting, if you are a fighting game fan, right? Which you probably are if you're either here or listening or whatever, right? Think about this and compare it to the state of any other, like, genre of video game, especially competitive video game, and just laugh, because otherwise you have to cry, at the state of fighting games, right? That this is the situation we find ourselves in as consumers. We're still probably the most popular, or maybe second most popular, depending on where you are, whatever, right? Fighting game out there. This is the state of trying to play that video game online in 2020, right? Like, that is the state of the genre of gaming that we find ourselves enjoying and loving. And that is going to be how we get ourselves into the Olympic qualifiers. Mm-hmm. It's so unbelievable. The absolute shit show of it all, right? It's so crazy. Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone knows how to even qualify for the Olympic team, though.
Yeah, who knows? So,
there hasn't been
broken down right now.
They broke it down for which regions are participating, but they haven't given us like the finer details as to what's going to be happening for like the qualification process and whatnot.
I also, for the record, I saw someone in the chat say something like the FGC is poverty. That's not true either. Like, first of all, consumers spend way more money in fighting games on having to buy additional DLC and season passes and attending major tournaments, which is extremely expensive and not necessary for many other genres of games. But also, the other thing you have to think about is Bandai Namco is not a broke company. They're, in fact, worth a ton of money. Capcom had one of their best years ever. They just had their greatest selling game of all time. These companies themselves, like, maybe their fighting game divisions are smaller, but fighting games itself, that is not an excuse for them not to be done correctly, because very many, like, tons of small indie companies have done many things right that these large companies with much bigger resources have not. So you can't just blame it solely on income or capital that a company has, right? That's not enough to do in this situation.
Well, it's more that we just buy the game anyways.
Yeah. What are you
gonna do? Unfortunately, we love to play. And there are workarounds. We can go to our local tournaments. You can go to our majors and attend those. And that's, people are saying that about Tekken 7 too. Where why are people not bitching about Tekken 7 as much as people bitch about Street Fighter 5's netcode? But the problem is Tekken 7 is in the honeymoon phase. It will get to the point where people will bitch about the netcode so much.
If it sits on top for too long,
yeah,
people will start coming for it.
Yeah, Tekken has so much goodwill. They're going to get away with a lot for a while, right? Like, especially, you know, people are just so burnt by other companies that anything Tekken does, like, people are just so happy to watch it and enjoy it, and they're not quite at that phase yet. They were like, you know what we should do? We should nerf Akuma so that Pakistan doesn't win the TWT finals like 2 weeks before the end of the year, and nobody even complained. Imagine if, like, right before the finals, like, Japan was like, you know what? We don't want Punk to win CPT. We got to just nerf Karen to the ground so she has no chance, and buff Akuma because we're big Tokido fans. Let's make sure he wins. Everybody would be like, what? That is absurd. But instead, it's like, oh, yeah, that Akuma nerf is probably good. It's just so funny how, like, the difference in mentalities work in the communities currently. Mm-hmm. But, like, yeah, being a Tekken fan right now, you're still in a much better place, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, according to the chat, the people, or a good majority of people, have been saying that Tekken netcode has been pretty bad.
It's always been bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or people have complained about it, is what they're saying.
Yeah, okay. Gotcha. Because I was misconstrued, because obviously I don't play as much. Okay, gotcha.
People complain about it, but I just don't think it's...
I don't see it to the extent of Street Fighter V, and I follow a lot of Tekken players.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's true, I guess. Yeah. I mean, I rarely get to see that on my timeline as well, and I follow, like, a variety of people, and I only hear it from Street Fighter V players. I don't ever get to see any other community complain about it. Occasionally, I'll get, like, MK players tweeting about it, like, oh, this damn net code, but that's really about it. I've never really heard Tekken players.
Yeah, the way Street Fighter 5 is bad is so visible. It's just so in your face. Like, anyone, you can show anyone on the planet, look at this game, and they're like, what? What's happening? Like, it's just, the visual rollback is just so insane. that it's very visceral reaction to the netcode, and it happens so often.
The other thing is, like, Tekken's netcode is just like a delay-based solution, and like Street Fighter's netcode could be very good, clearly, right? It's just this small little fix, and the netcode could be very good, but we've just been waiting all these years for them to do it. It's like they spent all this time and money and effort to do 99% of the netcode correctly, and then that last little bit, they're like, ah, just don't do it and let it be bad for 4 years. It's fine. Right.
I do hope that a lot of like top-level players in the U.S. start adopting it, though, because I think they should. There's so much... like the problem with the patch right now is not enough people use it, because I was using the patch, and I basically went back to PS4 unless I set up a specific play date with someone, like, hey, me, you on PC patch, play this day right now.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if I turn it on, I don't see anyone on. You know, it's like a lot of the user base is still on PS4 or they're on PC without the patch. Mm-hmm. So there is actually like an implication for the competitive community as well, because I think that's a big problem, is that US community is so spread out, we can't play because of the netcode. So that's my message to all the Street Fighter players, is give it a chance if you have the PC copy. Just don't use it for matchmaking, but like, I really hope the US community tries to use this as a tool to level up, because it got me excited. It's like there's a lot of new possibilities here. Players I couldn't play against previously, matchups I couldn't practice with high level players. The doors have opened, so I hope players actually leverage that.
Yep.
It's a tool, it's not an all-in-one solution, but it's a tool that can be leveraged for a lot of people.
For sure.
I feel like this really does, it also really helps the West Coast a lot, because we're so far isolated from like the Midwest and East Coast area, and then also the South. You guys are more close to each other, so you guys somewhat functioned online together. But like, I never got matched up with anyone past Utah. Like, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't want to in the old netcode, but now with the new netcode, or the new netcode fix, I can definitely try and play you now, Brian, or try and play someone else.
Right, we should try to play. But it's Discord Fighter now. It's not matchmaking. It's
Discord Fighter.
Yeah, you have to.
Anime, and it really is, because now we're doing Frosty Fossing's top 8 at 10 a.m. and we got to go to Discord to find games. So season 5 is anime. We got to make a community online and try to find some games.
Yeah, on a quick sidebar, you were at Frosty this week, 5th place. Mm-hmm. Nice work, you made it.
Thank you.
Seemed like a fun tournament. Friday, Saturday, the 4th largest tournament in the U.S. It seemed like a good one.
That's not a bad event. I always love going and competing, because it's one of the tournaments that really treats the competitors with the most respect, I think. You know, top 8, if you make it, you get a medal, nice quality medal. They hand you your envelope with your cut of the pot right there. They take a group photo. So it's a good time, runs well, and... you know, I really like that extra little bit to make it feel like it's for the people there competing. So if you haven't gone to it, I really recommend going. The only problem is it is Frosty. I mean, it's in Chicago in January.
Always lives up to the name, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely lives up to the name, but it's definitely a good time if you're in the area. Or it's always cool for Street Fighter too, because it's the beginning of the season is the way it always works out. So I think it's a good testing ground for all the new stuff to play with.
Yeah, and it's a Friday, Saturday. You guys mentioned
like the entrance too was like what, just about over 1,500 people.
Yeah,
which, and for Street Fighter alone is 190, but for, you know, that's not the main game there, but that's a lot for a Street Fighter tournament. That's actually a lot, because usually CPT events, especially towards the end of the season, will be 80 people, and they're the top 80 in the world. So it feels like a lot of players who are more like mid level competitors or just fans of the game come out to play for fun. So if some people get intimidated for being a pot monster, this is definitely a good tournament to come and be a pot monster. I mean, lots of players playing, lots of casuals going on. You might get a chance to beat up some fellow pot monsters and have some fun.
Yeah, and it's Friday, Saturday, so you get out of there Sunday if you want. Or you can stick around Sunday and play casuals or whatever and catch a late flight. Right. It's up to you. It's cool.
I don't know if he cut out. Was that just me?
He cut out twice. He cut out twice.
Oh, yeah, he cut out twice.
Oh, shit. I said Frosty Fossing is dope. Hey, what's next, Jeremy?
Okay, while you're fixing that. So we did talk about the entrance over at Frosty Fossing's. Just about 1,500, right? We actually had that many for Street Fighter V alone, nearly that many for Evo Japan, which is happening in the next weekend, I believe?
Yeah, next weekend.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. It has if we could maybe link the amount of registration numbers or the registration numbers in general.
But, yo,
Smash actually killed it.
Yeah.
By the way, nearly 3,000 competitors for Smash for Evo Japan.
Yeah. The big thing about Evo Japan is we mentioned that Frosty Faustings 4th largest event in the U.S., right? and it had 1,500 entrants. Evo Japan itself has 1,500 entrants for only Street Fighter, which is the second biggest game. Smash doubles it with 3,000. Tekken's got about 1,000, I think, as well, and then it kind of goes down from there for the other games. So the full lineup, there's six, in case you guys are curious. It's Smash Ultimate, Street Fighter V, Tekken 7, Samsho, Soul Calibur, BB Tag. Those are the six games that are there. So, like, no Dragon Ball, no Uni. There's, like, you know, a lot of games that you see at main Evo that are not there. And, obviously, Granblue is out the month after, so that's not there as well. So I think a lot of people are thinking about that. Evo Japan's always a big one. Then right after, they announced the main games for Evo itself. So, you know, that's always a big time of year. Street Fighter, I think, is the big one that I'm very interested in there because, as Brian mentioned, like, it's, you know, the beginning of the year still, right? And this is a good time to watch CE at the big tournament, right? 1,500 attendees, probably the largest tournament we'll have for Street Fighter until Evo this year. And it's going to be a lot of Chun-Li and a very interesting tournament, I think, to watch.
Right. Yeah, you're going to see a lot of the players kind of already developing their strategy or like the current meta with how the patch turned out, how the current changes to the characters. So I'm really curious to see how everybody in pools, there's going to be a lot of landmines for sure at Evo Japan. And it's going to be very, very exciting to watch. But on top of that, also Tekken pulling in numbers for nearly 1,000 players. And one of the big storylines there is Arslan Ash. He's going to be in attendance, right? Is he going to be able to clinch out
the three time? Damn.
Three Evos in a row?
That would be wild. Three Evos? He's just collecting them. He's like, man, that would be pretty wild if he could do it again. I think that would be like unprecedented, right? I mean, obviously he didn't win the world finals, but to get Evo Japan, Evo Japan, like that would be incredible. I don't think there's usually even a lot of like repeat Evo Japan winners, right? I don't think we've seen a lot of that so far as well. So nobody has done Evo Japan into Evo for Street Fighter, or I don't think even anything else, to be honest. It's going to be really interesting to watch. And one thing that I've noticed a lot of is, I don't know if you guys have been watching a lot of the Japanese and like other streams, but there is so much pocket Chun-Li in Japan, especially, that I've noticed. I'm sure Anton is excited about that news. Like, I saw Fujimura is playing like a pocket Chun. He said something like, you need to have a secondary in this version or something. And he's been playing Chun-Li. I saw NL is also playing Chun-Li. I saw Mago is playing Chun-Li. I see so many people switching to that character.
I guess you could say the same for... Chun-Li?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to stick.
I think they'll probably keep her as another character.
I think Chun-Li's a pocket character, but I think that she's a little hyped up. Mm-hmm,
I agree.
She's strong in this version, but it's definitely... I don't think there's any huge winners in the patch. Like, we're like, obviously, this character is overbuffed and going to be broken. Mm-hmm. So Chun-Li was the closest you saw to that in sheer number of buffs given, but it's still Chun-Li to me. I don't really see the hype. Good players are going to be good, and they can use Chun-Li. Sure.
She just got Street Fighter 5'd out, though. She got a knockdown, and then she got a take throw. What else do you need?
I think her issue is still going to be... I think in this version, Guile is very good, too, and I think that matchup is still going to be hard. I know, Anton, you and I were talking, and you said it's a little better, but I still get the sense that that matchup is going to be tough. Probably G, I think, is going to be tough. I think there's like a few character matchups that she'll probably still struggle in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is more matchup-heavy, finally, in this version, because... Like you were saying, Fujimura said, I think a lot of characters are strong now. And season 4, when the dust settled, it was all kind of the top 10 characters were running the meta, and there would be a few mid tier here and there stepping it up. But if you weren't in that top 10, whatever, what were you really doing? I think now it's the top tier was nerfed enough to the point where matchups matter. So I do think that's a good point. I'm excited to see that. In Street Fighter V, I wanted to point out, last year Evo Japan had 1,000 players, so this is about 500 more players for this version, but it seems like Tekken is also up about 500.
Yeah, I think it's just because last year was in Fukuoka, which is like, you know, it's rough. It's like going to Chicago in January, right? Like, it's like a little out of the way, and like, I don't know if everybody wanted to go all the way down there. So it going back to Tokyo, obviously... is going to boost up the numbers for it. So it makes sense, I think. Also, the hype of CE, I think, is like big. And also Tekken, you know, just had like their world finals. That game is kind of booming. Sure. And for Smash, like, it is it is the big, like, Japanese Smash event in this time. And also, it's the same weekend as Genesis, but, like, still has a ton of entrants. The interesting part about the top two games for Street Fighter and Smash, they were both added last, actually. The other four games were announced first, and then they're like, no Street Fighter was announced in the beginning. Everybody was like, what? And then they announced Smash and Street Fighter, and then Smash got so many entrants so fast that they like panic capped it, because they were like, oh my god, Smash is getting so many people, what are we gonna do? And they had to cap it really early because that game and Street Fighter both kind of like exploded in numbers really fast.
They actually reopened it like a couple months later or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. At least for Street Fighter 5, they reopened the registration, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, like maybe last minute. The schedule is also on their website, by the way, too, if you guys want to see like the schedule for when everything is at Evo Japan. I think I remember looking and the time zones were not favorable, as you probably expect for most people in the
US. Oh yeah, without a doubt. And kind of going back to the previous topic in regards to Champion Edition and the like current development of like, certain characters in their meta, I feel like Tekken's going through a similar ordeal on a smaller scale with Leroy. One of the things that the chat mentioned is how everybody's going to fare up against Leroy and how a lot of the players have been streaming Leroy and considering using that character as their main or their pocket character. So, we're planning to see a lot of Leroys out in Evo Japan. Maybe in the future of the TWT, if this character doesn't get, you know, nerfed to oblivion, because he seems very, very strong in the current meta.
Well, what's interesting is like Harada already made a tweet that was like, oh yeah, we're going to do a balance like patch or whatever for it. And that's so fascinating to me because I remember, I feel like around the time of like MKX and then Street Fighter V's launch, Tekken was like that game that was like, yeah, we don't want a lot of frequent patches, you know, like they were like really happy that their game was one of the games that doesn't get touched a lot or patched a lot. Mm-hmm. These days, I feel like Tekken is one of the most patched like games, right? They get patches, it seems like, so often in terms of balance stuff. So it keeps the game fresh, but also at the same time, you know, there's some people who don't like frequent updates, but I think that now it's a modern fighting game. Like, you're just going to get a lot of updates no matter what kind of, right? So, yeah, Leroy is, he's going to be a problem. A lot of players are playing him, obviously. Like, how much of an impact he'll have on the tournament is, like, who knows, right? But I think already we've seen a lot of players switching to him, and, you know, it's had an impact on, like, smaller events like KIT as well and stuff. So I'm very, very curious.
I think the impression I got from the patch culture with Tekken is, I mean, they seem to mostly be focusing before Leroy on the guest characters that were the different play styles. I mean, it was Akuma, it was Geese, it was the characters that were breaking the mold to the point where Tekken fans were like, hey, this is not what we want to deal with. Like, we're fine with strong characters in our game, but not ones that break the what we perceive to be proper Tekken. But Leroy, from my understanding, he's a Tekken character.
Yeah.
He's just better in every conceivable way at being a Tekken character. So this is the first time a Tekken character is being asked to be nerfed off the cuff.
I also think that's why he has so many people adopting him very quickly compared to like how long it took for people to get real comfortable on characters like Akuma or Geese or other characters, right? It's because he's like fucked up like kind of how they are, but not like with the learning curve of learning a weird funky style character. Like, he just has standard Tekken moves that are very powerful, right? So like, it kind of makes sense that he very quickly got picked up and everybody was like, oh my god, this character is so good, right? Because he's much more traditional than maybe Geese or Akuma is, which makes sense. So, you know, I'm not sure, like, I'm honestly curious if they're going to balance patch before Evo Japan. I know it's literally week of, but like the way they made it sound was that the patch was going to come before Evo Japan. And I'm very interested if like this Tuesday there'll be like a balance patch that's like, hey, so Leroy no longer has a cane. He doesn't have a dog. His orbital is -9. His down forward one is, you know what I mean? I wouldn't be that surprised, but it might come after Evo Japan or something, I guess, too. But it seems like that is on their radar to get rid of him.
I just wonder if this is the business model. I'm very curious
about how the balancing is going to work, too, because Street Fighter 5 CE was no means a perfect balancing, and I don't know if they're going to just let it rock or if they're going to see the results of this season. I don't know what Ono meant about they're not going to do a mid-season patch. Did the season already start, or was that patch for this season? Well, or are they thinking about the Olympics? Like, Seth's coming out on February 14. Are they going to patch it out with Seth? Are they waiting for this one result, or I don't know what they're doing, and like, it scares me to know.
They said something along the lines of that this patch was like for the Olympics, right? And the Olympics is like in June, I think, or July. I don't remember which. My thought is, since the CPT season is split into two sections now, and the Olympics is like the next big thing, are they just going to let this patch rock until like that halfway point or something and then do adjustments? Or if they think that it's fine and they don't need to do anything, they're just going to let it go until the end of the year, right? I honestly don't know what their strategy is.
You guys had an episode after Capcom Cup, right? Because I need to rewatch that to figure out what the hell is going on with the two CPT seasons. I don't want
to. To be honest, we don't really know.
We don't know either.
I'm so confused.
There's just two sections of qualification from what I understand. And there's like a section one and a section two based on date. So like that was my thought, is maybe between that's when there'll be some kind of patch, if there's going to be one. But there might not be, because they didn't do a midseason last season. Mm-hmm. And I think that this balance patch sticking for a year wouldn't bother me that much. Besides, I don't want to get hit by any more tires, bro. I think that it just cracks me up. It reminds me of like two Evo Japans ago when Abigail was real wild, and that was when Itabashi and Storm Kubo both made top eight, I think, in that Evo Japan. Mm-hmm. That was so funny. That's like season 3.0 Abigail, I think it was. Man,
I don't remember what exactly we were talking about for the season one, season two thing, for how people are going to qualify into Capcom Cup. But if I remember correctly, like season one, they're going to get the top certain amount of players, top X players. Mm-hmm. Then it resets. Then when season two comes around, they're going to get the other top X players, and then at the finale they just put them all together. So even if you've already qualified in season one, you could still participate in season two and potentially gatekeep other competitors.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, we don't really know too much about it. It's kind of like the skeleton of a tour, right? We kind of have like the outline of it a little bit, we don't have the details very well.
Yeah, I feel like people were not paying attention at the finals, because the video was kind of informative, where it was eight on the leaderboard resets, but you take eight from the first half and then eight from the second half, and that's it. And then there was like local Warriors tournaments.
22
like,
people.
I was definitely paying attention. I was trying to do the math in my head. That was just a speed run through someone's like PowerPoint slides of the entire tour. It was so much information so fast, and it was right after Idom just won Capcom Cup. So I'm there, you know, trying to pretend I wasn't crying, wiping my tears, and I'm suddenly blasted with all these numbers and calculations and different regional leaderboards, and like, when's the mid-season reset happening, who's going to qualify from what. It was just information overload. So I mean, we can go back and rewatch that, but I'll still be confused.
It would have been sick if right after it's over, Ono started handing out quizzes. He's like, all right, everybody, right, I hope you paid attention. Start people penciling just in your Scantron.
I remember like the group around me was just like, give me my character. They cared more about who the character was.
Yeah, they should have just said, they should have just said, CPT 2020 is happening, we got a new form, leave the details for later. It was the wrong time to be blasting us with math and all these logistical arrangements for the tour. It was definitely the wrong time. It was too emotionally charged. CPT 2020, it's got to be weird. They should have moved on.
It went from USA, CPT, and then Seth. That was the... That was a little transition there, and no one was paying attention. I wasn't paying attention. I had to rewatch the video.
Same here.
I was just like, no, this is not going to be talked about right now. Where's my character? And that's why I feel like people are super confused about it, because not a lot of people really go back and watch that trailer. They're like, oh, crap, it's female Seth. Let me watch the female Seth trailer again and again and again. And then people were more like focused on, oh, crap, season five is coming out this same night. Let me go try out all these characters so I can get all this information on them, and maybe a few likes on Twitter.
And that was likes on Twitter, you say. Ooh. That's where you got me.
Pretty good bargain. Yeah, I mean, we'll figure it out. I mean, eventually someone's gonna break down the video for us. Steve, sounds like a good idea.
Brian, well, I guess F, I know maybe what my stream's about tomorrow, man. That was my when the netcode patch dropped, it dropped like right after I finished streaming, and I just tweeted like 2 hours later, and I was like, I guess I know what we're talking about on stream tomorrow. He had like 80 retweets and like 1,000 likes or something. It was like so many people were just like, all right, here it is. It was so funny. But yeah, like, I think we're gonna get some news in like a month. That's my prediction about when we'll get like the actual breakdown of this situation, if I'm honest with you. And I think when they do break it down in a month, I probably still won't understand it all. So whether or not I do a video about it, we'll see. But I feel like always with these announcements, it would always be nice if you just had a clear, concise, like, you know, breakdown from someone edited into a nice like 3-minute video. But it's always like, you know, this real convoluted blog post with a lot of, there's not a lot of pictures, you know, I need pictures. There's just a lot of words on there, no explanation, no video content. And that little bit would help a lot, I think.
Yeah. Anything really at this point would help a lot, honestly. Nobody said anything about any like sort of announcements at like going on at Evo Japan, right? For at least Street Fighter V.
I would guess no, just because Smash. Seth is the last character, right? Unless there's a netcode patch. No, I'm yeah, I don't really know what else they could be announcing, right? At there, unless it's stuff for the Olympics, like details for the tour or the Olympics or something.
Yeah, because the only thing I've seen so far in regards to like what's being or what's happening over at like Evo Japan is that they're showing a few like playable demos for certain games. No like big announcements, right? But they did like release like the Faust trailer over at Frosty Faustings. Mm-hmm. And then maybe they'll have that playable build over at Evo Japan for GG.
Yeah, I still haven't gotten to play the game actually, which would be really nice to get my hands on it at least for a little bit and see how it feels. The Faust trailer was so weird. I don't know if you guys watched it. It is straight up like a horror movie trailer. And I was like, man, this character looks so strange. But they announced the next two trailers will be dropped in March for the game. And, you know, I was thinking about Guilty Gear's launch. It's so far away. It's late next year. And they've already revealed like 7 or 8 characters or something. And they're probably not going to have that many on launch. I was like, man, they got to be running out of characters. No wonder they pushed the next announcement back like 2 months or something like that. I was like, man, that's going to be so interesting. But yeah, if at EVO Japan, I think like, I don't know if Uniclear is playable, but I think Granblue is. And I think also
Granblue should be. Yeah,
Guilty Gear is playable.
Granblue.
Yeah, they announced that there's a character reveal at Final Round for Guilty Gear. That was like the strangest thing I've ever heard. That was like the weirdest. Round. That's like, you know how what's Final that? Round's. Yeah, Final Round's like not CPT this year, but like imagine if they had like Seth playable at Final Round or something. Like, you know, it's just like such a weird right. choice to like do Final Round as a place to announce a character when Final Round is like not a big Guilty Gear tournament. You know, I don't know. It's so strange to me.
It's the revival.
I mean, has to rebrand somehow. It might be a Guilty Gear tournament from here on out, because I don't know how many Street Fighter players are going to be going to that.
They're going to go to Brussels for the premiere.
I said late next year for Guilty Gear, by the way. I forgot it's 2020. It's late this year. I just thought I should fix it before someone panics.
I was curious about that. Yeah.
I keep forgetting it's 2020. You know how it is. 2020 is when we're supposed to have flying cars and shit. We don't even have rollback netcode. I don't know what the fuck's happening, man. It's weird out here.
You know, it's funny with Granblue as well. Like it said, it's coming out in what, February, like the first week of February. But that's for Japan. That's the Japan release.
There's no U.S. release date yet.
None at all. No. People have speculated the 21st, but that's just like a filler date on like Amazon and whatnot. But there's no actual like official date for the U.S. release.
Yeah, what am I gonna do? Do I have to do one of these situations where you get a Japanese console or whatever? It's like I remember like 4 years ago, my roommate was like, yeah, I had to set my console and make like a Chinese account to download this game called Underbirth in Night or something. And I play the Scythe guy and he yells Grim Reaper. I was like, that's weeb trash. I'll never play that. But like, is that what I'm going to have to do to play Granblue? Like, it looks like that's maybe the case if they haven't. They said they were going to announce the date soon. So I'm hoping it's at least close.
I feel like a lot of companies are leaving us in the dark, but I feel like maybe Capcom is a little bit justified because their Pro Tour does start a little bit later now. But the Olympics is cutting it close. It starts like late March. So they have 2 months to give us all the information on the Pro Tour. But at the same time, I feel like they should just give it to us so we know. But at the same time, it's like, do they even know what's going on?
Yeah, they might be finalizing.
Is it like a placeholder? And I'm going to go back to Evo Japan and then where... Hopefully they have announcements at EVO Japan about the CPT or something, even though it's not part of the CPT. But for sure, they're going to have presence. Ono's going to be there. And he can actually speak Japanese and, you know, try and relay the information there for the Pro Tour.
That'd be sick if he got on stage and did everything in English in Japan. He just, like, showed up and was like, what up, everybody? That'd be so tight, actually. His perfect English.
I have no idea what he said on that one.
Yeah. Again. What if he showed up with perfect English? Like, Ono just comes on stage. What?
I meant you, Steve.
Oh. That's what I said. Damn it.
It'd be like that sometimes. I'm going to just nod my head and smile on that one.
What's your problem, Jeremy?
I'm trying to help you out, bud.
Your mic's cutting out. I cursed your mic. No, it's you now, not me.
Damn it. This is all, man. Where's Rin?
Smiling waves.
Where's Rin?
Never some problems with Rin here.
We're doing just fine with Rin here. What happened? Come on, Brian.
Big mistakes.
But yeah, apparently the I was looking into it. Amazon changed their shipping date to the 18th, but it's still not official. So I'm gonna take that date with a grain of salt for the Amazon shipping release. I'm not about it. It's just a filler. Don't believe it.
Yeah, I mean, also it's like UniClear does not have a PC announced date yet.
Mm-hmm.
So like it has like a console one, but no, it has a Switch and a console, but no PC. So like it's also in a weird space. It's fighting games, man. It's just, you know, we never know.
It being on the Switch is pretty clutch, though.
Yeah,
I like that.
I'm kind of hyped about that. Oh man, yeah. Obama said in the chat that Ono is gonna announce a patch to destroy the mod that the foreigners made to play NetPlay. That would be the best thing ever. I'd be in the crowd. Time.
We're gonna tell Japanese that everyone's cheering. We're like, what?
Yeah, what is he saying?
He hires a fake translator for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I told you imagine this Olympics is going to spark the net code that's going to this fake Street Fighter V.
He's gonna get on stage and like the net code's fine. We're gonna delete the patch. Sure you can, everybody. I'm not gonna understand a word he says. I'm like, all right, sure you can time. Sick.
They're gonna send the cease and desist to Altifor, or what's his name?
Altimore.
Altimore.
Voldemort. The new Voldemort.
The new Voldemort.
He must not be named.
Yeah. Yep. We have to protect this person, actually.
Yeah, dude.
He's Harry Potter in this situation, right? He's
the boy who lived.
Yeah. I like the storyline already.
Altifor, that's his name.
I wonder if the Japanese PC the PC community for Street Fighter V know about this patch and they've tried it. I wonder if there's some way to rally the Altimore cheer at Ono's little debriefing.
That'd be good.
I want to see like something on like FGC translated where he finds a stream and he just like all the players playing on the PC patch coming together, getting a round robin tournament off this new patch.
There's got to be less than 10 people playing on PC in Japan. That's my guess.
That's unfortunate.
And they don't need the patch. It's in Japan. They're playing each other for the most part. It's probably
they're just going
fine.
Offline.
Right.
They do also complain about the netcode there too, though. Like if you see like the random Japanese players that are like online monsters are a grandmaster, mm-hmm. they always post their like videos, and there's even known players that post their videos about the lag, and they're like, "What mm-hmm. the hell is this?"
Oh yeah, I mean, you watch Daigo stream, he'll get laggy matches too.
Yeah. Wait, so is he on PCs?
He's on PS4.
Is he playing it on PC? Oh yeah, because I imagine he's playing on PS4 the entire time on his streams.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm really excited to see how Evo's going to turn out, especially with like see how everybody's going to play out. Tekken as well is going to be pretty exciting. Smash also, what? They announced their newest Fire Emblem character?
Byleth? Byleth?
Sure. Billy.
Billy. They announced Billy. I don't like Billy. I wish it was another character. I don't care that much, but Billy, whatever, man. You know,
I thought it was Dante.
That's what I thought too.
Man, I was super excited to see Dante.
What is wrong with fighting game fans? I don't understand how everyone just creates these fantasies in their head, creates all of these fan videos and edits and posts and monologues and fan art, and to the point where they believe this shit is real. There was no announcement. There was nothing official that pointed in this direction. What is wrong with people?
Wait, are you telling me, Brian?
Why can't you let people be happy?
What do you mean, you people?
Are you telling me, Brian, that Dante?
You people.
What do you mean, you people?
All I just heard is that Brian can confirm that Dante is coming to Street Fighter. They're going to announce him at Evo Japan.
Yes.
He's already
heard it here first. Dante for Street Fighter. It's happening.
Look, Dante's in there. Virgil's in there. The entire roster of DMC is already in Street Fighter 5.
Yes,
the new character in Smash looks just like Marth to me. They all look the same.
Also, like, I'm not mad. I should say I'm not mad that it's not Dante, but I don't know any of these Fire Emblem characters. I don't know who Byleth or Billy or whatever his name is.
I don't know who Billy is.
What does it matter? There's already 900 characters in the game. What does it matter? I
all y'all here. Look alike. That's what I feel like. I see these Fire Emblem characters. I'm like, oh my god, all these Fire Emblem characters, they do the same thing. They all swing their sword. Boo.
You can't do that. You can't say
that. This one has an axe and a bow and arrow.
That is cool.
Oh, I like that.
And something else. It's like a stance character. It's maybe that's where it came from. Someone heard stances like, must be Dante. no other possible character in the universe this could be besides Dante.
But I didn't even know the Fire Emblem universe existed back in the day. I thought that, like,
I didn't know
the Link and Zelda were connected to. I thought Link and the Fire Emblem characters are like enemies.
Yeah,
like that's how
you had made up Smash Melee lore. You're like, all right,
it's a fan base. Sorry, it's fanfic. It's Anton's fanfic.
They go around slaying the Pokemon characters.
I don't want to talk about that. Anyways, let's go ahead and round it up.
You're the Pokemon junkie, sticking your Pokemons with steroids and stuff. Come on, man. What's your problem?
Calm down over there, Steve. Evo Japan is going to be a big one. So we hope to see you all there watching along in the streams, you know, chatting it up. Steve's going to be there, I believe.
I'll be there. I leave Wednesday to go to Japan. So I'll be streaming tomorrow and Tuesday. And then I go to Japan, and then I'll come back and probably be homeless or something. They will have sold my home, and then, things will be great. That's the plan. So while I'm gone, you should watch all of them do... all of them do stuff, because, Anton, you're done with your big test. You're going to be more free now to live, yes. Right? That's cool.
Live.
I'm sure Brian and Jeremy will be streaming. So if you miss this Say Jam, you just go watch one of the other Say Jams on Twitch.
Yep.
And
yep.
It'll be perfect.
I have to wear my beanie first to make sure.
I can't believe that happened.
Beanie Say Jam.
Beanie Say Jam.
He got recognized as me when he was wearing a beanie.
Right.
I have no idea how or why.
You know those Fire Emblem characters? You can't tell them apart. They thought that was Billy, but that's
we're the
like
new,
he's Billy.
We're the new Fire Emblem characters.
Yeah.
Is everyone from SoCal lookalike? Is that what they're saying?
I was holding a sword, and then he was holding an axe, and they're like, it's Fire Emblem with an axe. And they're like, all right, well, it's totally exactly different.
It. Yeah, but any final thoughts in regards to what we talked about today, gentlemen?
For Evo Japan, I want AK to win and finally get his moment.
He's so good at getting second place, though.
He needs to win. Yeah. It's 2020.
Yeah. I want Arslan Ash to win just because it would be tight to have three. Like, he'd just be so good.
I need him to get third right after Nii and AK. That's the...
You have the fantasy planned out. You've already... It's like the Fire Emblem characters and Link being enemies. You've already written the fan fiction.
That's what I'm saying.
That's pretty good. What about you guys? You guys excited for Evo Japan? You gonna try to watch it?
I'm just waiting for the Abigail tires. I want as many Abigail mirrors as possible. Abigail's the best brawler, the best rushdown, the best grappler, and the best zoner. So,
dude, the tire is an abomination.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing until you have to fight against it. But until then, I'll be enjoying the show.
Yeah, even after Evo Japan, I think for me, I'm really curious to see where this patch, the unofficial patch / mod, takes us for Street Fighter V. What's going to happen in the future and what Capcom's going to take, like what steps they're going to take going forward, because right now it's a mystery. So I'm just really looking forward to seeing how the news develops until February.
Yeah, I'm excited to go, and I'll be posting a lot about it, I'm sure, and doing commentary. And I'm excited to watch the tournament and see just like the pure amount of matches we're going to get is going to be great, because we haven't seen so much of CE in tournament. It's only been like a couple of US tournaments, and then I guess Red Bull Kumite, which was just so quick after that it felt like everybody was like, what the hell even changed? So yeah, I'm pretty excited to watch it. Thanks for coming through, everybody. If you want to follow any of these people, where do they find you, Jeremy?
At @viciousfgc on pretty much every social media platform you can possibly find.
Brian?
Yeah, you can find me at @Brian_F on Twitter and YouTube, or Twitch and YouTube on Twitter. I need help. BRI4NF time being, and maybe forever. So you can find me there.
You can find me on Filipino Man on Twitter, and then Philippine Zero Man everywhere else.
Yeah, and I'm SayJam here on Twitch. And if you look up SayJam on YouTube, you'll find me. And Twitter, also SayJam. So thanks, everybody, for coming through. I appreciate you guys for joining me here on the podcast. And we'll catch you guys next time. I'm going to send you guys to the Capcom Cup Champion. All right, later, everybody. Peace.
Peace.